A reading from Hebrews 4, 1 to 12, the Sabbath rest for the people of God. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Now we, who have believed, entered that rest, just as God has said, so I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words. And on the seventh day, God rested from all his work. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest. And those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Here endeth the reading.
Thanks, Nikki. All right, keep your Bibles open to Hebrews 4. And as we continue our series, Jesus, Better, Greater, Superior, let me pray as we come to hear God speak to us through his word this morning. Let me pray. Gracious Father, we do indeed thank you for your word and your promise to speak to us through it. And so, Father, as we hear again your voice this morning, Lord, we pray we'll not harden our hearts to it. But Lord, we respond to your good word that became flesh and dwelt among us, the one in whom you now speak in these last days, your Son, our Lord and Saviour. And so, Father, work in our hearts this morning by your Spirit, soften them, shaping them, molding them so that we may be conformed to the likeness of Christ and live out our calling worthy in him. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just over 5 months ago, life was going full steam ahead. Life was busy. Life was full. Then Corona hit. Thinking back over those 5 months, it makes you tired. You're feeling weary and worn out. But on top of the impact of COVID, and it has been significant, many have also endured great hardship and grief and loss, battling with chronic illness and great suffering. Feels like we've been taken to the edge of despair through many trials of a broken world beyond just the pandemic. We want a break from it. We all need rest from this pandemic. We need rest from the restlessness of our soul. But where can we find rest? Rest is good. We all long for rest, don't you? You'd all agree that we need to rest from the weariness of life, to put our feet up. Rest is good for the weary. We long for a nana nap, but deep down we want something more. Well, that kind of rest gives us a glimpse of God's rest he offers us in our passage today. Yet God promises rest that is far better than a good night's sleep or a nana nap. A rest that ultimately satisfies us completely, those who are weary. If you're here with us last week, we heard from James 1, the encouragement to keep persevering through the trials and storms and suffering of life by keep trusting Jesus. I pray you heard that message and you're trusting Jesus this week. But as we come back to our series in Hebrews, we're reminded also to keep going. For when we are weary, it's easy to drift away, to trust in lesser gods rather than Jesus. And in Hebrews, I hope it's revealing and expanding Christ as we grow in maturity, as we delight in all he is and has done for us, the weary. And so we need to keep going. We need to persevere and press on through life that brings weariness. For God holds out a promise of satisfying rest, eternal rest. And if you're here last week, the crown of glory of heaven itself. Now we're jumping around a little bit, but as we remember back to chapter 3 in Hebrews, the writer reflects on Psalm 95, and he does again in chapter 4 this morning. One of the key points for reflecting on Psalm 95 is the great invitation to enter rest, to enter God's rest. But as we know, the psalmist firstly takes us back to walk through the tragic history of Israel in the desert, you know, where that whole generation had died. Those who had rescued from Egypt but didn't make it into the promised land of rest. And so the writer asks, why are they here? Oh, why did they die in the desert? You know, they heard God's word, but they didn't listen. Instead, they hardened their hearts. They rejected God's good word. They rejected his invitation to enter the promised land of God's rest. And so again, it's a warning for us to hear God's word, to hear it with soft hearts, but not just to listen, but be doers of the word of God that leads to rest. So the question for us this morning, what is this rest, this generation rejected? What is God's rest? Well, if I said the word run, what is the first thing that comes to mind? Well, it's probably saying running. That's right. We move quickly from one point to another. It's a running race. We start and run across the tape and you win your race. It could also mean to run an idea past someone to get their opinion on something. Run could also mean to hold to run an event or hold an event. So similarly, the word rest means a lot in the Bible. It has several layers of meaning, which we're going to explore now in this passage. But what is God's rest? Well, firstly, rest refers to a place of Canaan. And we go back to Deuteronomy 12 and verse 8, you are not to do as we do here today, everyone doing as they see fit. Since you have not reached the resting place and the inheritance the Lord your God is giving you, but you'll cross the Jordan and settle in the land, that's Canaan, the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and he will give you rest from all your enemies around you so that you will live in safety. And then there you'll rejoice before the Lord your God. The Canaan is referred to a place of rest because God would give them rest from their enemies. God would give them peace, but more than just peace, a place to enjoy God's presence. How extraordinary that, to be in the presence of God and to enjoy him. And God calls us then to rejoice in that as they enjoy God's presence and provision, a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a very concrete picture of rest. So it means something more than a nananat that's fleeting, doesn't it? It's living in a place where there is harmony of joy because of God's presence with his people. But as we've all been looking at Psalm 95, God's rest, as we read there, refers also to my rest. And see, Psalm 95 is addressed to people who have already entered the place of rest. And the writer of the Hebrew makes the point, God spoke through the prophets to people who are living in the land of rest. And yet to those people who are enjoying God's presence, enjoying his protection and provision, he's with them in his tabernacle, they're meeting him in the temple, God invites them to enter his rest, the personal rest of God. I think that's an extraordinary invitation of people enjoying rest, but now invited into the personal rest of God. It'd be like going to Sandringham with the Queen for Christmas and enjoying all the things that she does and has with the corgis running at your feet. So what is God's rest? Well, the key is found in Hebrews 4, verse 4. If you've got your Bibles there, have a look. For somewhere, he's spoken about the seventh day in these words. On the seventh day, God rested from his work. So God's rest, we are meant to think back to creation, back to Genesis 1 and 2, and in the account of creation, as God created stages of the universe, God saw that what he made, and it was good. And that was the pattern for the first 5 days. You get to the sixth day, and you hear this. God saw all that he made, and it was very good. Created humanity is the climax in creation. But there is still another climax beyond that to reach. It's the seventh day. Genesis 2, by the seventh day, God finished the work he was doing. And then on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, for on it he rested from all the creating he had done. See, God's creation had a purpose, with his rest in mind. But this is not just that God was putting his feet up after 6 days of hard work. Reminder, Jesus says that God is still working today, so Jesus is working today. God was resting in this sense of enjoying what he'd made. He was engaging with what he had made in such a way he described it as rest. In the fullest sense of that word. The seventh day, God declared it blessed and holy. And this is the direction the whole creation was moving. So when we come to Psalm 95, the psalmist says, today, enter God's rest. So today, if you hear God's voice, make sure you are listening and respond accordingly. Now, this rest is not about a Sabbath day. That's a whole different topic to drill down into, but we're not going to do that this morning. Because what I think is here, this Sabbath day is a Sabbath celebration. It's a festive gathering for anyone who enters in God's rest, as we read in verse 9. It's about enjoying eternal, festive Sabbath celebration in heaven. For those who have heard the good news, the message of the Son, and believe in him. That was the direction of creation. That's what the seventh day is all about. And that is the invitation for us to enter in this God's rest, this eternal festive celebration. And so the point of the writer of Hebrews makes is reflecting on Psalm 95, is today continues. It continues to this very day. We are gathered together as God's people today. So today, God is inviting us to enter into his rest. He holds out the promise that we can enter his presence for eternity. And he's given us a down payment of that, that he now dwells in us by his Spirit. That will lead us to share in his celebration and eternal rest. Friends, that's where we're heading, to that eternal rest. We can become part of that which he intended the whole creation to enjoy. That's our hope. So what is God's rest? Now, it's still a little hard to describe. Is a good night's sleep? Well, maybe. Canaan gives us a picture of land flowing with milk and honey, a land of security, of no more enemies, no worry, nothing to worry about. A place where God is and his people can enjoy him and rejoice in him. That's God's rest. God's rest is far better than Canaan. God's rest is rich and satisfying. It's about enjoying God forever. His rest is eternal peace of no tears or suffering or sin or death. But satisfying, inexpressible, joyful celebration for eternity. That is our hope. That is what will sustain us as we persevere and keep trusting Jesus. That eternal rest waits for us. What is God's rest? Well, the question is, how do I enter God's rest? Well, you enter first by learning from the mistakes of those in the wilderness. See, it's not enough to hear God's word. We need to be doers of God's word. Have a look at verse 2. For we also have the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did, those in the wilderness. But the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now, the promise of God is a powerful promise. We know that he's faithful to his promises. He will do as he says, but it must be combined with faith. In trusting him, if we are to benefit and enjoy God's good word to us, we need to keep trusting Jesus, God's Son, in whom he now speaks to us. I think this is a wonderful thing to hear, as Israel did. We have God's voice speaking to them and promises good things, but the promise of God will profit us no more than it did them, unless it's met with trust and acceptance of what God says. We all have a responsibility to listen to God and obey. You know, the Israelites had God's word, had his promise. The land would be flowing with milk and honey. It would be theirs. But with their eyes, all they saw were the Amalekites, who looked like giants and they felt so small. See, they trusted their own eyes and followed their own reading of the situation. They trusted their own opinions, their own worldly views and wisdom. They hardened their hearts toward God and his word. How do I enter God's rest? Well, Hebrews says we read by receiving his word, by trusting God at what he says. Friends, he is trustworthy and faithful to his promises, however counterintuitive it might be. You know, the cross is foolish to some, but to those being saved, it's the power of God. God's rest and in entering and rejoicing and enjoying, what is it all about? Well, it's about the powerful word of God. And so when combined with faith, for it to reject God's word is a serious error. And I think it leads to frustration and restlessness. If we're not trusting God as the word, we are separating ourselves from his goodness. And it leads to death as the Israelites experienced in the desert. See, even Moses didn't obey God at his word. And this may seem quite trivial. If we look back at Numbers 20, God said, speak to this rock and it will pour with water. But what did Moses do? He struck the rock twice with his staff. He didn't listen to God. He didn't honor God in front of the Israelites. And he didn't enter the promised land. It seems so trivial. But God's word, his voice to us, is not trivial. It leads to life. It leads to rest. You look, verse 1, there is a warning for us to be careful. Psalm 95 today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And friends, it's no wonder the writer labels linking rest with God's word. Have a look down to the end of our passage today in verses 12 to 13. These verses ought to make us stand up and tremble. Hebrews 4 verse 12, for the word of God is alive and active. For God is alive and active. His word is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates, it dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It's always about our heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. You know, Israel was worried about the sword of the Amalekites, so they rejected God's word. They should have been more worried about the lethal weapon of God's word if they rejected it. See, the word of God won't just damage your body, it will expose your heart and leave you defenseless if you reject it. And such a response, as I said, leaves you restless and will not allow you to enjoy God's rest. God's word becomes, for the person who disregards it, a lethal weapon. Chapter 4, verse 7, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. That voice is a living, piercing word of God. And God's word will reach into the deepest corners of our hearts. We will be exposed and laid bare to our disobedience, as we read in verse 11. We are totally exposed and totally defensive if we think we can deceive our Creator. If we think we can hide from our judge, such foolishness leads not to rest but exposes unbelief, exposes ungodliness and leaves us wandering in the wilderness in frustrating restlessness and leaves us chasing after the things of the world. But friends, please hear this morning. Here is the promise. The word of God is powerful to take us to heaven. That's what God's rest is. And when we receive it with faith, the attitude of trusting God and his word wholeheartedly. And that's how we walk in his will for our life. And when we persevere in it, it will lead us to rest. God's work at work in us leads us to rest. Well, I've just got two responses for us, for God's invitation this morning to enter his rest. Have a look back at verse 1. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found fallen short of it. We are to be careful. And secondly, jump down to verse 11. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. Be very careful, make every effort. And we'll notice that they are not private or just personal matters about being careful for yourself, but it's about others. See, the promise to enter God's rest still stands. Be careful that none of you be found to fall short of it. Friends, we are to watch out for each other and be careful. I think you get a sense of fear here. We were up in the mountains recently and the family was walking along one of the edges and a sense of fear gripped me. They were all mucking around. I was saying, careful, don't muck around on the edge. Watch out. I was watching out for them, even though they mocked me about it. There's nothing to mock here. Brothers and sisters, God is calling us to be careful, fearful for each other, so none of us miss out, that none of us fall short in not honoring him as Lord and not entering God's rest. And verse 11 again, make every effort to enter that rest so no one will fall by following the example of disobedience. Now, that will take us in all sorts of directions as we look out for one another. Now, watching out for each other as we gather together on Zoom this morning, being here is an encouragement to each other. Who can we encourage to be here with us? The same as our growth group, watching out for each other so we don't fall away, we don't drift away from such a great salvation. It's a responsibility, is on all of us. So we all enter God's rest. Well, we do that by speaking the truth in love, by praying for each other, of showing compassion and not judgment. Later in Hebrews 12, I think the writer reveals to us what that looks like. It says, make every effort to maintain the bond of peace with God and each other. That means God's rest is about peace with him and therefore each other. So we can't watch out for each other if we're not at peace. We ought to be in harmony and the joy for each other. So when we have an issue with someone, a grievance, that maybe someone has said or done something, what Hebrews is encouraging us to do is go and sort it out. Bring it into the light. I think that's being careful and watching out for your brother and sister. But sadly, what we normally do is run from each other. And we read on in Hebrews 2, that leads to a bitter root growing among us that causes trouble and defiles. You're at risk of hardening your heart against God. So we're to quell any bitterness that may exist between a brother or sister. Go and sort it out. Confess, apologize, and offer forgiveness as God has forgiven us. Remember, we are to be doers of the word of God. And so that's how we watch out for each other. That brings peace and leads to rest. See, the problem is if bitterness prevails, gossip flows if unresolved. See, we can't help bring others into our bitterness, into our ungodly world of self-righteousness, you know, of giving one side to a story and slandering people, our brothers and sisters. And so we believe it. So that's not honoring God in front of our brothers and sisters, as Moses failed to do. It just brings factions into the church. And it's like taking a sledgehammer to God's church. See, friends, we are God's church. We are gathered here, the church that Christ died for, to bring us rest with God and each other. Friends, this is not a solo race. It's a team thing. We're part of Team Jesus. We're to be running together, and at times we need to carry each other, not to run away from each other in our pride. You know, we're all face pressures in life. We're all struggling through trials. We will all make mistakes. We will let each other down at times. Is there something in your life loosening your grip on the truth about Jesus? Is it bitterness? Is it pride? Is it gossip? You know, such disobedience leads to perishing and not rest. Is there someone that you need to be careful for, to fear for? Are we watching out for them and helping them to come into the light? Or are we just enabling them in their disobedience? God's word is powerful to bring us to heaven. So are we holding firm personally and together to the faith we profess in Christ? For friends, there is a real risk of giving up on God because it's too hard to listen and obey God's voice. You know, we hold on to the truth about Jesus when you realize how good it is. How good Jesus is, how good peace with God is, and how good peace with each other is. That is grounded in our faith in the Lord Jesus. Now, friends, God's rest is that goal that God has set before us to enjoy God forever.
enjoying his rest, eternal rest, the crown of glory in heaven. Don't you want that for each other? So here's our invitation this morning. Friends, hold on to Jesus. Trust him. Trust God's good word. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Obey it. Do as it says. And you'll find rest for your soul now and for eternity. Because God's word is living and active. For God is living and active. He will deliver you to his rest. If you keep trusting Jesus, his son, his message to us in these last days. To the weary, God says, today will you enter my rest. Let me pray. Gracious Father, as we sit now in the stillness before you, as we sit at your feet, having heard your voice to us this morning, quieten our hearts. But Father, expose those things where we fail you, where we disobey you. Father, expose those things where we're letting our brothers and sisters down. Expose those things where we're not watching out and we're not careful, we're not fearing for each other. Father, this morning, soften our hearts to your voice. And Father, we thank you, though, Lord, of that great promise, the great invitation, that today, if we hear your voice and we respond in obedience to it, the great promise, Lord, is that you are leading us to that eternal rest. The eternal rest for the weary. The eternal rest for those who are suffering and struggling. The eternal rest, Lord, that we may be in your presence forever and rejoice an inexpressible joy. Father, may that fill our hearts this morning. May it strengthen us each and every day as we press on, as we trust Jesus. Father, lead us to that rest. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.